You can subscribe to The Spectator for 12 weeks for only £12 for our print and online editions, plus get 6 months of digital access free to The Telegraph. Go to spectator.co.uk/telegraph.
Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, The Spectator's daily politics podcast. I'm John Connolly and I'm joined today by Fraser Nelson and Katie Balls. Today there have been recriminations and backstabbing inside Number 10 after Downing Street's Director of Communications, Lee Kane, announced his resignation last night. The resignation follows it being briefly announced that he was going to become the new Chief of Staff for Boris Johnson. Katie, how has this all sort of come about? And it's not a great look for Number 10 at the moment.
No, I think there's lots of people who are looking at various things going on elsewhere, such as the fact we're in a national lockdown. I think we've now passed 50,000 deaths, and also time's running out on Brexit, and wondering why what's dominating the news appears to be infighting in 10 Downing Street. As we touched on the podcast yesterday, ultimately what's happened is tensions have been brewing for some time, but things came to a head with a report in the Times and the Daily Mail suggesting that Lee Kane, the Director of Communications, is being lined up to be Chief of Staff. Now, as soon as that broke, a briefing operation came into motion about why he shouldn't get the role. And it just got messier and messier as the day rolled out yesterday. You had a situation where you had the BBC's political editor naming the Prime Minister's partner. Carrie Simmons is one of the people who was very opposed to this. That is on the front of most front pages today. And after all this counter-briefing and so forth, it got to the point last night when, as far as we understand it, having been offered the role of Chief of Staff, Boris Johnson then perhaps has second thoughts. Lee Kane suggests he would stay for Chief of Staff on these terms. When that didn't appear to be the case, he said in that case he would resign. So he chose to go. Now, we have a situation where we have a new Director of Communications, James Slack. As we understand, he's going to serve in that role as a civil servant, which is quite rare, but it could be, you know, something in the short term while they get other things in. Lee Kane is going to be in this role for a few more weeks. A lot of this sounds very insidery. It's names people don't particularly know or perhaps care about. I think ultimately you're trying to understand why it's relevant and why it's dominating the news above all this, you know, other things which seem to affect people's lives more. It's because ultimately it's about how the Prime Minister plans to govern, who's in charge in Number 10, and how that's going to affect the type of government we have, both now but in the years to come. And what we are seeing is a dilution of Vote Leave's control on 10 Downing Street and other factions coming into play. Now, I think it's quite clear, and we were hearing there could be more resignations from the Vote Leave side last night, such as Dominic Cummings, haven't gone yet. There's a question as to how long these people stay. And I think even if they stick around, what's clear is this tight grip this faction has had on how Downing Street and the government has run since Boris Johnson first entered Downing Street is clearly loosening significantly. As for what's going to replace it, I still think it's quite up in the air.
And Fraser, as Katie sort of alluded to in the beginning of her answer there, we are in the middle of a pandemic. The Brexit deadline is not that long away. You know, a lot of people were saying, why is this even happening now? And do you think there's sort of a moral case that Downing Street should sort of get its act together and not be talking about this?
Yes, of course. It's indefensible to be going through this psychodrama now. And so much, the country is literally locked down. We're in the middle of another recession and we are weeks away from the Brexit deal. I was astonished, for example, last night to hear that David Frost, the Brexit negotiator, was one of those who was considering his position in protest at Lee Kane's departure. You'd think that, you know, even if you hate your position, even if you're outraged at what's happened to your friends and allies, you would stay in the job for the last few weeks it would take to get a Brexit deal done. But I'm afraid to say the dysfunctionality in Number 10 is something that's been apparent for quite some time now. I actually think that this is relatively small beer compared to what we saw a couple of weekends ago when lockdown was announced, when highly sensitive documents were leaked, when we had that shambolic Saturday night press conference twice delayed, and then it emerged that the COVID infections were going down rather than up, so the whole thing may have been agreed on a false premise. So there's a whole bunch of things that are just simply going wrong in Downing Street. When I saw Lee Kane appointed as Chief of Staff, I first of all thought to myself, well, this is maybe an attempt to correct it, because somebody needs to get a grip of that place. Somebody needs to be a Chief of Staff. But what's happened since then is a power struggle, not so much. This isn't about Lee Kane or any individual. This is about how Number 10 is going to be governed after Brexit. If you're going to have a Napoleonic model of a very strongly centralised centre, Number 10, the Treasury and the Cabinet Office, this sort of triangle of power, or if you're going to go back to a cabinet government. Now, Tory MPs have put up with a lot in recent months. They have been ridiculed, ignored by Number 10. They don't really care. They know that if it wasn't for the single-mindedness of Dominic Cummings and the Vote Leave team, they would not have got to the general election. They wouldn't have got a Brexit deal. They wouldn't have got an 80-seat majority. And they're willing to put up with this until the Brexit deal is done. But the big question is what comes after. So to see Lee Kane, a Vote Leave alumni, in the position of Chief of Staff, will have said to a lot of people, well, you know what, after Brexit is going to continue. I think that was the rebellion. And then you end up with this ridiculous position where the Prime Minister had offered Chief of Staff to Lee Kane, but then had to rescind that offer after all the protests, including, we're led to believe, his fiancée, Carrie Simmons. You know, you think American politics are difficult to follow. I would hate to be listening to this podcast from another country right now, trying to get your head around why, at this moment of national crisis, we seem to be in the middle of a cross between a Hammer horror film and Carry On Governing.
When, as Fraser says, it was first announced and it seemed more definite that Lee Kane was taking on role of Chief of Staff, and you read it as like, this is how they're going to tackle it. Mm. I definitely think one school of thought, particularly as on the Vote Leave side, is the problem they've had in recent months, that they haven't had enough control. Because the way you fix this is to get more control. Then I think on the other side, clearly, and we're seeing that the factions, I think, that happiest today, their view is actually the less control Vote Leave have, the better. They want control elsewhere. So it's about how you see that in terms of things.
Fraser, we've been sort of talking a lot about advisors, but there is one person in charge of all this, Boris Johnson. How much of this comes down to him, do you think?
Well, it's all down to him, ultimately. If you're Prime Minister, you can't blame anybody else if your number 10 is in chaos. Now, we know that Boris likes to sort of play people off against each other. He likes to take different kinds of advice. And that's why when Dominic Cummings took the job, he would have said to Boris, look, I want you to guarantee there's going to be nobody above me. You're not going to get another advisor. I'm not going to end up being played off against somebody else. I suspect he was probably given that guarantee, but he didn't reckon for the carry factor. So Carrie Simmons isn't somebody who can resign from her position, well, not very easily anyway. And if it is the case that Dominic Cummings and the Vote Leave band of brothers in general are facing sustained opposition from the Prime Minister's fiancée, who, by the way, is a former Tory communications chief with her own contacts book. She's perfectly capable of making her points in subtle ways. She's certainly capable of trying to bring what she would probably regard as more balance into the Downing Street operation. That is pretty difficult for somebody like Lee Kane to battle off. It's certainly difficult for Dominic Cummings to battle off. Now, what I am fascinated by is where this leaves Dominic Cummings. Mm-hmm. He has been the single biggest factor in this government since Boris Johnson took over. He has easily been the most powerful figure, more powerful than perhaps any other cabinet member. Now, he wanted Lee Kane to stay in his job. We know that. And we also hear that he was seeing Boris last night, talking about whether he might resign over this. Dominic seems to have lost this battle. He would have been absolutely clear to Boris Johnson, we cannot let Lee Kane go. That he is one of us, he's one of the core team. If you weaken him, you weaken me. Boris seems to have thought to himself, so be it. Mm. Now, that, to a lot of people, spells the beginning of the end for Dominic Cummings. So we will see if the Brexit deal, if we get one, or the Brexit no deal, when that happens, if after the end of this year there is a new regime, number 10, will it involve Dominic Cummings? The augurs right now are pointing towards it not involving him. Mm.
Do you think there's going to be a bit of a power vacuum at the centre of Number 10 after all this, Katie? I mean, Fraser mentioned in his blog this morning that Eddie Lister is on his way out. Dominic Cummings now appears to have been a bit more sidelined. Is there going to be a vacuum, and who do you think is going to step into it?
Yeah, I think there's a potential for a power vacuum, and it goes back to the idea of who has control, who should have control. And I think it's, as ever, it's a lot easier for various groups to decide what they don't like than what they do like. Yeah. And I think what is interesting, I mean, I think there's lots of speculation right now about Dominic Cummings and his future. And there's various briefings going around. And the funny thing is, because things have spilled out so much, it's so hard to put the lid back on it. So it's now, you know, it's a briefing field day and you're hearing some calls. I think the front of the Evening Standard that's just come out is, Tory MPs want Dominic Cummings gone. Some ministers also do. Now, were it that easy, I think Dominic Cummings would be gone by now. Yeah. We've seen those efforts before. I personally think if Dominic Cummings does go, the Prime Minister, I don't think, does want him to. Clearly, we've seen efforts, you know, I don't think in a way he even wanted Lee to go in terms of Lee Kane. I think in a way he didn't even want Lee Kane to go, but circumstances meant it was impossible to sustain that situation. So if Dominic Cummings goes, I think that's going to be his choice, and that would be telling that that person and that part of the Downing Street operation do not think it is worthwhile for them to be in that space anymore.
I should clarify, John, I wasn't suggesting that Dominic would be fired, but here's the thing. I suspect that Dominic will only stay in number 10 if he's basically got control. Mm. If it turns out that he doesn't, that the departure of Lee Kane means he will have to share power with somebody else, that basically what he wants could very well be overturned by forces above his head. And I think that he probably wouldn't stay on that basis. I don't think he would want to. And the funny thing about Dominic Cummings is that he's not really motivated by power or money. He won't be running off to a consultancy. I don't think he needed this job in the first place. And that's, when you try to look at what motivates him, he's very project-based. He wants to get projects delivered. If the Brexit project is delivered, then he might think to himself, OK, my next project could be the rewiring of the British state. It could be to reorientate the British military. That's one of the things he's been working on right now with the Defence Review. But if he thought, actually, I could come up with all of this and it could be overturned because the Prime Minister's fiancée disagrees with me, if that was his mind, I think he would be minded to leave number 10 rather than stay with his power fractured, which it now seems to have been.
And I think just in terms of what power replaces this, when you say vote leave is weakened, or, you know, Dominic Cummings doesn't have full control. Clearly, there's lots of briefings suggesting that Carrie Simmons has a lot of control. But I think more widely speaking, we've got to look at who is going to be the next chief of staff. Mm. That's a role where there are lots of Tory MPs who want to be an old hand, someone who's quite experienced. Andrew Feldman, we believe, was approached previously. It didn't work. But is that going to be someone who's going to take control, or other force is going to be at play, and perhaps we'll get this return to cabinet government? But only, I think from all the things you're hearing in Downing Street, there's clearly a lot of people who want to be leading the agenda, so I don't think it's going to be quite as straight and straightforward as just going back to what ministers want.
We should also remember that Boris struggled, really struggled, when he first became leader in finding a chief of staff. The moment he was elected, I remember writing a Telegraph column saying, look, we don't know what government's going to be until we find out who he's going to hire. When he was sitting in the sofa I'm currently sitting on, and that he basically ran the Spectator by devolving. And that's his great skill, that's his great superpower, is to find really talented, diverse people in whom he instills complete trust. That's how he ran City Hall when he was London Mayor. He found a brilliant series of deputy mayors. But when he became Prime Minister, he struggled. He ended up with Eddie Lister, who was his former Chief of Staff. Mm. And Eddie Lister is like a guy in his late 60s. He wanted to go home at 5 o'clock. That clearly wasn't going to work. So it's all very well to kick Lee Kane and Dominic Cummings out the door. It's another matter entirely to come up with a regime that can replace it. And when I look back at the various prime ministers I've covered, when they try to reset their number 10, it is very seldom successful. You know, it could well be that we are looking at the beginning of the end for the Vote Leave Band of Brothers number 10. But I'm not quite sure what we're looking at the beginning of. I think the old is dying, but new has yet to be born. And into this vacuum, all sorts of things might fall.
Thank you, Fraser. Thank you, Katie. And thank you for listening.